Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Marty Plum, and I am your host of a Pen and a Napkin podcast, a weekly coaching clinic you can carry around with you in your pocket. We are live in downtown. Well, by the time you hear this, it won't be live, obviously, but we are, for us, we are live in downtown Sheldon, Iowa, just off of Highway 60. My dad has lived here for 45 years, and I still can't remember which one's 18 and which one's 60. So we are at Langer's Cook's Grill in downtown Sheldon. If you're in the Northwest Iowa area, come out and check out Chad's place. I've known Chad for about 35 of those 45 years that I've lived in town. And he has opened up his place a little bit early for us today to have a little basketball conversation. So I am here with three Northwest Iowa boys basketball coaches, Mr. Kylie Yates from South O'Brien Schools in Paulina, Iowa. Coach Yates, how are you this fine Thursday afternoon?
Doing fantastic. Thanks for having us on.
You bet. Thanks for working it. Thanks for being my street agent for getting these other two guys on here.
Absolutely. It's fun.
Yeah. Lauren DeYoung at M. Morris Orange City, Floyd Valley. For how long were you there, Coach?
34 years.
34 years. And now the new AD and boys basketball coach at Siouxland Christian High School.
Yeah. Director of athletic development, which is essentially mentoring coaches, players, and youth coaches to help build some programs.
Okay. All right. And then the head boys basketball coach at Hull Western Christian, Iowa, or Hull Western Christian High School, excuse me, Derek Kampstra.
Coach?
Kizer. Sorry. Yeah. Why did I write down Kampstra? I'm sorry. And that wasn't a Sheldon Orab to Hull Western Christian Wolfpack mistake. That was a genuine mistake.
My wife is a Sheldon Orab graduate. So.
Oh, what year?
We got ties here. Oh, 07 maybe?
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's sad. Yeah. I was long gone at that point, you know, so, but no, Derek, thanks for coming on here. Sure. So, hopefully the whole Western guy and the Sheldon Orab can get along peacefully here in this environment. But no, excited to have you guys on here today. I think we've got a pretty good list of topics to chat about. And like we talked about, who knows what direction we'll end up going in here, but we're excited. So should we get to it, fellas?
Absolutely.
We're ready? All right. So you guys have all had really good careers. So, you know, a couple of you a little bit more seasoned and experienced than somebody else at the table. I won't mention who that is, but it's the name I screwed up just 3 seconds ago. But no, you guys have been at good programs, built good programs. If you were to pick one thing that you believe has been the key to sustaining the success of your program, what you feel like, and again, please don't be modest, for the good of our listeners here. What do you feel like you've done well in your career to have not just isolated success, but sustained success over time? Now, I didn't send this in the text message, and I meant to do that on purpose, but whatever Kylie says first, Derek, you can't copy him. You got to come up with something different. And Coach, you got to come up with something different than those two guys here. We're going to play that little game here, little podcasting game. So, Kylie, what do you feel like, you know, year in, year out, it's a hard comet to grab onto and stay held onto it?
Well, we don't have any natural advantages physically. We have the same kids from kindergarten through 12th grade. We don't get anybody new, but we don't usually lose anybody. Okay. And our whole thing for the 19 years that I've been there is all about youth skill development. Mm-hmm. We have to shoot, dribble, and pass as well or better than our opponents. Mm-hmm. And we run a K through 3 clinic, get them started, and then really get serious in 4th grade. And that's all led by me. We have volunteer dads who have been great through the course of time, leading our teams and team play. In fact, I hardly ever watch any of our youth teams play. But I'm in charge of all of the skill development. Mm-hmm. And we start in the fall and then continue throughout the winter and have breakfast club in the spring. And we just finish youth camp up this summer. Huh. And so our ability to sustain success through time is all related to shoot, dribbling, and pass better than they did the year before.
Mm-hmm. How important, and we can open this up to the group here. To me, I think when it comes to building a consistent winner, if you're the varsity coach, you have to have a strong hand in your youth programs. I don't think that there's any debate over that. I see some nodding here. Mm-hmm. Lauren?
Yeah, I would say amen. You know, Kylie nailed it. We're basically in the rural communities. We have these kids from kindergarten through 12th grade, and that's it. We get what we get. And if I, as a coach, am not at the center of that, we're going to struggle. And so you got to be a good leader. You essentially got to work hard. And I think probably like Kylie, I try to keep it fairly simple. And here's the key fundamentals. And we don't focus on plays. We focus on fundamental skills. And if I'm not selling that, nobody's going to buy it. So you nailed it.
Yeah. Derek, anything to add on that?
No, I think that's a great point. We're a little different. We pull some kids in from a larger radius, so we don't have the same group K through 8. Our kids probably start playing together 5th grade, 6th grade, and maybe some groups, depending on the dads, how involved they are, probably in 4th grade. But I think what these guys said is spot on. We, as leaders, have to have the belief in the system. But then I think pass it down, like for us at Western, I think the dads have to believe in us.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's harder different years than others. but if we can get volunteers to lead well through how we want to see our program, because we believe what, as coaches, we all believe what we're doing is right. We got to tweak, but we got to get the other people on board to make sure they're running the ship in the same direction that we are. Because if we don't, it can get off the path real fast.
Little PJ Fleck, everybody's got to row the boat in the same direction.
Yep,
you know. Sure. Yeah. So, do you guys, with your youth development, when you're turning the kids over after 4th, 5th, 6th grade, and they start playing with their teams and stuff, and they have a quote unquote coach, how much are you saying, hey, Mr. Jones, I want you to run this and this and this and do this and this and this, but everything else, it's up to you? Yeah. Or, I mean, is it less than that? Is it more than that? Where are you guys at when it comes to that stuff?
I think maybe as a younger coach, I felt like more of that mattered. And the older I get, the less I think that matters. We have some simple requests. At the end of your season, do a couple things. Quit playing tournaments with the hope that we had one more to play. So we're still excited about basketball. Uh-huh. Our other thought would be is how successful you were in 5th grade is in direct proportion to the number of kids that choose to play basketball in 6th grade.
Yes.
That means they had a good experience the year before. We're going to teach the skills as the high school staff. They're going to go play in tournaments. Then I think how much I'm involved during the course of a season is all completely up to that volunteer dad. If they would like help, they would like some ideas, we've got resources galore. If they feel like they're a little more comfortable doing it, let them run with it. But really give them the idea that please don't pick the varsity for us. We'll pick the varsity later.
Yeah.
And you let them have a good experience, let them have fun. And then, so if we've started with 12 or 14 kids in a grade, we'll have 5 or 6 when they're seniors. If we start with 5 or 6, we're going to end up with 1.
Yeah.
And when we have back-to-back, low number, could be low skilled classes at the varsity level, then we're going to have a rough year.
That's a recipe for disaster right
there.
But
if we can fill it, if we can always fill each of those groups, then we feel like we got a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 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 I learned, this will be my 8th year at Western now, and I fortunately have been able to learn under a lot of really great coaches in not just basketball, but our head volleyball coach, Tammy Verbeek, has won 20 or 18 state championships, and incredible. But she said the number one thing with youth is show up. And that doesn't mean to the practices. That means just show up to their youth tournament one or two times, show up to a practice or give a kid a high five, because those kids pay attention.
Know their name.
Know their name. And yeah, she is the best that I've ever been around in knowing. My daughter's going to be a fourth grader, and she knows everybody's name. And I'm not always so good with names, but that struck to me because, you know, when I started, I wanted to tell the coaches, hey, we got to do this, 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 and this.
Mm-hmm.
But as Coach Yates said, I think it's less important for us to tell them what to do. I think it's our job to show up and show support. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, we want numbers going into the high school program. Because if we're working with a class that has 2-3, well, your hands are pretty tight.
Yeah.
You can work with 15 kids and hopefully get out 7 or 8 or 2 or 3 later on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just showing support for our youth coaches in fifth grade. At Western, we want as many kids out in fifth grade as possible. And we go the exact opposite of A-B teams. We combine teams because I just want guys playing. Yeah. I want our best players playing with the worst players. Mm-hmm. So I think there's opportunity to get more individuals continuing to stay out, and we just want numbers.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. That you can get away with a single small class of you have two kids that end up helping you out.
Yep.
But you can't have it back to back.
Back to back.
You can't have it back to back. That's when you get into trouble. That's mm-hmm. when you get into trouble. So, Lauren, anything to add?
Well, I've been so busy taking notes on these other guys here that actually some really good things. I like it. I would just make this statement. I think it was 2015, I believe, we made it to the state tournament with that group. We almost won the first round game. I think Kaiser might have been there and saw us get beat. But as fifth graders, they won 0 games. As sixth graders, they won 0 games. And I'm really grateful for the coaches at the time that focused on the fundamentals
uh-huh.
and letting the kids play, which Derek alluded to, rather than trying to win games.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's, I think it's a great story and a great lesson.
Yeah. Yep. All right, Derek, Coach Yates brought up consistent youth program.
Yeah.
What's another key to building a sustained, a program with sustained success here?
I think the older I get, and I feel old, but I know these guys are giving me a dirty look right now.
Let me cut you off here. Yeah. We don't use the O word on a pen and a napkin. What is it? Kylie, what is it?
What is it? Is this, what's the?
Seasoned and experienced.
Well, they are seasoned and they're very experienced. Yes. I think kids today, they just want belief. They want to see that you believe in them so much. And winning's very important. We like winning. Every coach is out there to win.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just getting them to believe in what their strengths are, believe in what we see that they can get out of them. And I think it just breeds success. I think having your kids see success, and success is different for every program, right?
Yeah.
But having them see success and having the coaches show them what we feel as success is,
uh-huh.
if we can just keep going, I think it goes back to what Lauren is saying, is the fifth and sixth graders see that and they want that.
Yeah.
So they're going to go in and work for that. But that's our job as leaders to get them to believe, because uh-huh. we're all going to have bad classes, right?
Yeah.
We're all going to have fifth graders that don't win games.
Uh-huh.
But can you turn those programs into, or those grades into ones that believe in each other?
Mm.
It's tough, but yeah. I think that's a very good key to success. But I would have said Coach Yates is, if I would have gone first. But
well, the veteran gets the nod. The veteran gets the nod. Yeah. So,
yeah, and I'll add into that of sustained success. Story that Urban Meyer told about Earl Bruce had just got the Ohio State football job, and he went to Alabama, met with Coach Bryant, and wanted to know the keys to success. Coach Bryant was late in his career, late 70s. And Coach Bryant said, you need to get control of your schedule. Secondly, you need to get control of your schedule. And third, you need to get control of your schedule. And I think something at South O'Brien that we've done is we've controlled our schedule. We've had some very good groups come through, and we've had some very average groups come through. And what we have tried to do is to put ourselves in a position where schedule-wise, we can have success year after year, still develop our team. Northwest Iowa basketball is always going to give us plenty of good teams, matter what.
Throw a rock in the air, you're going to find a good team.
Yeah. Right. And what I think sometimes teams will do or programs may do is they'll overschedule themselves, get in some back-to-back-to-back five-win seasons. Those are really hard on your off seasons.
Yeah.
Varsity won five. They've got a bunch back, and they know they're going to win five again. It's hard to come to the gym. Also, it's hard to get your youth players and your youth coaches excited about you as the leader when they don't see success at the varsity level. So I've always thought that programs, while we are developing youth players, we have to get ourselves to get organized at the varsity level, because that's the marquee Friday night, 7:30, everybody's watching. And if you have control of your schedule, you're going to be able to have enough success that you can continue to perpetuate it.
When I was in Nebraska, we had the wild card system, and especially when we had eight teams at the state tournament, six districts, and then two wild card teams could get in. And we got in there once or twice from that wild card, but it was a math problem where you would look at, you know, well, I don't want to play MOC because they'll probably beat us, and that's going to be a 39-point game. But we'll play Western. We should beat them, but they should be good enough to where that's going to be a 47-point win instead of a 44-point win. And I mean, you spend time doing that stuff. And I think when you're building your program and you're talking about controlling the schedule, I don't think there's any problem with A, saying, no, we're not going to play you. Or now you can't say no to everybody. You can't say no to everybody. Sorry, I was pointing at people here. This is the Italian guy talking with his hands. But no, we're not going to play you, but we will play you for 2 years because we feel good about this group, or we don't feel so good about this group. But in 2 years, we feel like we're going to be ready for this team. So in 2 years, we'll pick you up and we'll give you a competitive game and win or lose. And I think Kylie brings up a great point. You know, Coach, what do you think?
Well, I'm still need a little counseling after Kaiser's old comment. Trying to recover from that. But anyhow, I would say hard work.
Yeah,
I'm just going to say hard work. And if we've had success at MOC Floyd Valley, it's because I have worked hard.
Mm-hmm.
I've probably outworked most coaches. I know that's the case for Kylie.
Uh-huh.
So that's the long and the short of it is it's just a lot of hard work, and that's what's allowed us to have sustained success. And on those down years, I think parents and kids respect the hard work and they'll stick with you.
Yeah.
But if you're not working hard and they felt like you haven't put everything you could into their kids, they're not going to be not near as much leash for you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
it's a great point.
What are some ways that in our seasoned and experienced states here at the table, how have you found systems, methods, ways to organize yourself to not you're working hard, but also in that same vein, you're working efficiently.
Yeah.
You know, Lauren, how have you been, what are some things that you've looked at? Yep. That's a big thing I need to take care of. Nope. That's a skinny rabbit over here. I'm not going to worry nearly as much about that.
Yeah. I would phrase it working hard and working smart, really. And I think we do that pretty well. And I'll build on what Derek said. You know, you want kids to see you. You want the parents to see you at their games or practices or events. But I was doing that all the time, and that's not sustainable.
Uh-huh.
So picking and choosing what events, what practices, and then really, I think, getting the right coaches in place in the first place. Because if you have the wrong dads coaching, you got a lot more work on your hands. It's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
And so if you can get some good ones, that can really help a lot. So, and I just try to take, be really, really wise on where I need to be and when I don't need to be there, to just let it go.
Mm-hmm. How do you, Lauren brings up a great point. How do you handle the parent who wants to get involved with the program, but you're like, you got something else to do? Yep. You know, I mean, how do you work through it? Because that can be a sticky wicket to get through, you know?
Well, John Maxwell would say the greatest leadership challenge is leading volunteers. You know, we lead people that are under contract because they have some, legal obligation to do that. When you have people that are volunteering their time, the first thought that came to my mind would be to partner them with one or two other guys that you think are rowing the boat in your direction.
Mm-hmm.
And Lauren's point about working hard, I've always thought that my time was best efficiently used with the skill development of our youth players, while that to not be very, very glamorous. The bleachers are pushed in and nobody's there.
Yep.
But I did help make your son better. Then when I ran into him at the grocery store or the Casey's, hey, how'd you do in the youth tournament? I don't ever watch our youth teams play other than our youth tournament. And part of it is just a fundamental dislike for the level of fifth grade basketball that I don't want to watch. I would much rather spend time with those kids in the gym developing relationships, developing their skills, than the parents and of that youth coach. They want to go play in that tournament. That's fun for them. And the skill development's fun for me. And I can still make the connection by asking, hey, how's the team doing?
Yeah.
One thing we've been doing with youth, a lot of people run tournaments, cost a lot of money. They spend their whole day. You can wear some kids and parents out. We've been doing a lot more scrimmaging with just local teams. Triangulars.
Yeah.
Get together, no charge, play everybody for 20 minutes, stop it, coach them up. And again, maybe that's not exciting for grandma to be able to come and watch, but it's good for kids and it's good for coaches and good for your program.
Yeah. Derek?
Yeah, I would echo that. I think, as my kids are starting to get involved, I have taken a step back to say, what do I want my kids to be involved with? Because I think it's easy when my kids were younger and weren't in school activities, it was like, yeah, I want to be at everything. I want to be at every practice. And yeah, like what Coach DeYoung said, it's not sustainable, right? Yep. But I do think there are times where us coaches can pop in against a certain team you're playing against, where people do notice and other schools do notice, oh, the head coach is there. Well, why isn't the other head coach? Or, uh-huh. you can have timely appearances. For example, if there's a youth tournament in Sioux Center where I live, well, it's easy for me to stop in for an hour, take my girls and
yep.
give every kid that's playing for Western a high five
yep.
and just say, hey, coaches, thanks for your work today.
Yep.
Very simple. Doesn't take a lot of time. But I don't think it's sustainable to go to every tournament for the youth and that sort of stuff. But I think there's opportunities to keep people in place as long as you keep supporting them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what you mentioned earlier was, how do you keep that dad away or that parent away? I think you surround them with the people that you trust, and you give that parent who wants to be involved, because they really want to be involved, because they either really care about their son or daughter, or they're living in the past, right? So give them.
Coach just would have put me in that state championship game in 82, you know?
Give that dad or mom or whoever it is, uncle, crazy uncle, just one thing that they could specify in on practice. Hey, maybe it's, hey, you were a good rebounder 25 years ago. Why don't you teach the kids how to do that? But they're not necessarily in a leadership position, but they are helping out.
They're not disrupting the
apple cart. They're not. They're allowed to do things that they thought they were good at, but don't really have that much control, even though they're working on that drill. They feel like they have control, but they're really not in control of the team.
Uh-huh.
Right? So I think you can be strategic with that. And I get every program is different, and every program probably isn't as fortunate to have as many volunteers help. But that would be my suggestion. Just find a way to get them involved, but not overly involved.
Uh-huh. Well, anything else, guys? Look at that. I mean, that was 26 and a half minutes of great stuff. That was just terrific. So let's what you guys are all in the midst of your summer stuff, and I'm just hanging out and taking three mile walks every day.
Yeah.
I did coach at Coach McDermott's camp down in Omaha this week, before I came up, and I had to tee up a kid, we had to ref, and first time in my coaching camp officiating career, I've ever had to tee up a kid in the middle of a game. So, sorry if whoever that kid is, if you're listening to this, I apologize for calling you out. So, what's been kind of the emphasis with your teams here, as you've got the summer stuff going here. Now, again, we're in Iowa. It's a little bit different. We have state-sanctioned baseball and softball. So the kids are playing, and some of them are soccer's about wound up. I think soccer's done. So, but they have school-associated baseball and softball going on throughout the summer. So it's a little bit different than pretty much the rest of the country when it comes to that type of stuff. So, you know, Lauren, you're taking over the new gig here. What's the whirlwind been here for the last couple of weeks, and what have you been emphasizing with your new crew?
Yeah, well, it has been a whirlwind, and we're at a place where we just haven't been very good. But I don't even think it matters that much. It really boils down to what Kylie said earlier, being able to dribble, pass, catch, and shoot. And I've had to really, really pull back, like, on me wanting to get some offensive things in, or, you know, put a bunch of nuances in there. Like, we just can't. Like, we have to first, like, we're training them how to shoot.
Uh-huh.
We're training them how to pass, how to catch, how to dribble. And if we can't do those things well, it's not going to matter what we run offensively. And so you got to have some things in place. I get that for structure, but without any fundamentals, it's going to be an issue. So heavy on the fundamentals, probably mainly shooting and finishing at the rim.
Yeah. Yep. Make it, you know, again, you guys are all boys coaches, but Gino Auriemma, you know, always, yep, you know, says, you know, free throws and layups, that's what decides games, you know, and especially at the women's game or the girls game, where, you know, 99.99% of them can't dunk it. So you got to make layups. I, as a girls coach for 27 or 28 years, every day we worked on challenge layups, physical layups, go up and finishing around the rim. And it's not sexy, it's not glamorous, but that's the difference.
Yeah, I could spend a long time on that one alone. Like, that's
where we got a lot of room on the computer. Yeah, if you want to.
That's really where we started, is like how to finish at the rim. Mm-hmm. And yeah, when you get those opportunities, you got to be able to cash in. And we're working very hard on that.
Yeah.
And you nailed it with what Gino said. So,
yeah. You know, 12 national championships. So yeah. I think he's got something going on there. Yeah. How about you, Coach? Lauren's coming off a state championship, but at a new school. You're coming off a state championship, same school. So,
yep.
You know, how do you keep it? This was three in a row, right?
Two in a row.
Yep. Sorry.
Yep.
Sorry.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's different because we graduate a lot of players. So, mm-hmm. You know, last summer it was, we could focus more on, we did fundamental work, but we could be a little more advanced in our scrimmage situations per se. This year we're kind of starting back with scratch, right? And we probably have two or three guys on our team that we know are going to play. And then we have eight or nine that are going to fight for a spot. And those eight or nine really have to enhance their skill set. What these other coaches are saying, you know, you're finishing around the rim, shooting especially, and then just taking care of the ball, right? Mm-hmm. So we work out four times a week after lifting. Lifting is our main priority this summer. It always probably hasn't been as big as of an emphasis in the past, but we've really encouraged our whole school to be that way. It's just a smaller class in size, but then we start every single open gym with some sort of fundamental work. I actually heard a podcast a couple days ago. Calvin Sampson of Houston said the very first thing he does with his summer team is transition defense. And yep. It really made me think, like, because we've been fundamental, and I understand the college is a whole nother level. I get that. But if our guys don't know how to stop somebody in transition, well, we're going to get beat regardless of how well we shoot. So I actually went back to my assistant coaches and say, are we doing the right thing? Should we be reconsidering this? But we do the fundamental thing. I think we stress it. I think Northwest Iowa basketball stresses it probably as good as anybody in the state. But I think there are a few key programs, and these coaches sitting right next to me have obviously showed that. But the fundamentals, they show up in the big games, right? When kids are nervous, you can see, and down at the state tournament, I think Coach Young would attest to this, you could see who the fundamental teams were down at the state tournament this year, and the ones that were somewhat fundamental, but also, you know, maybe don't emphasize it as much as others.
Taking care of the details.
Yeah, the details are huge, and the details in the fundamentals are the biggest thing. Uh-huh. So we do a lot of moving, catching. I don't think a lot of coaches spend a lot of time on catching. I think we talk about, hey, let's shoot, let's dribble.
Yeah.
But I'm an old savvy point guard that probably couldn't shoot as good as a lot of people. So I always thought passing and catching was one of the more important things, and I still think it is.
Well, I read this book, and every time it comes up, I can see the cover of the book, but I can't remember the name of the guy that wrote it. And it's a bit dated. It's probably about 10 years old, but the stat tracking stuff that they had at the NBA level, essentially two out of every three times a guy touches the ball, they pass it. But how often do we work on passing and catching the ball, you know? But we worry about dribbling, we worry about shooting this and that, but two-thirds of the time, we're passing it after we touch it. Coach?
Can I ask you, what do you do to work on catching?
So this is a weird, when I was coaching as the assistant at Dort, we did a bad pass drill. So Ross Dalma, I was always in charge of the post guys. So we would obviously do a lot of tennis ball work. We would do a drill that was called catching in the trees, where we would have our gangly, tallest guys with their long arms waving their arms back and forth, and a kid would have to run through those trees, kind of like a football drill, and catch it. But if you ever try that, don't put your clumsy player going through the trees, because we had a guy bust his ankle at that time. And we kind of got rid of that drill. I pull out the footballs to work on catching probably once or twice a year, where I just throw them a football really hard and they got to go scoop it up and catch it.
Yeah.
And then we do a ton of transition work of sprinting and catching, and absolutely no travels. They don't count. So We do a lot of that in our practices. And that's, if you can't make that pass and if you can't catch at a high pace, well, then how are we going to play fast? Then we might as well be a slow continuity offense. Uh-huh. So if you can't pass or you can't catch, don't ask me to play if you really want to play fast.
Yeah.
But we do a lot of those drills. And I think it's a lot like rebounding in a sense. You are what you emphasize. So if you're running regular offense in the half court, if you don't emphasize a good catch or where you want to catch things, well, kids aren't going to learn that. Like, they're just going to say, no, we want to shoot baskets, right?
Yeah.
So we emphasize that a lot.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Sorry. I get your transition defense thing,
mm-hmm.
but if you can't pass and catch, your transition defense isn't going to matter. Because they're just going to shoot layups.
Anyhow. Live ball turnovers.
For sure.
Line of
play. Okay. Yep.
So I just
say that. I totally agree. And that's why I went back to say, Calvin Sampson of Houston has 6'10 athletes around the floor, right?
I agree with that. I'm just saying.
But I do think the fundamentals, yes. Because layups in the, I was driving me crazy. But yeah.
Shameless plug for Hoops 365, a one-year guide to becoming a basketball CEO, due out this fall from this very podcast. This day two, the first thing that we did almost every year was, this is what we're doing in defensive transition. This is what we're doing in defensive transition. And so I think when you get to November 15th, that should be, I think the 1 year I violated that rule was my first year at Fort Calhoun, and they had turned it over 7,000 times a game the year before. And I was like, especially against pressure, the first thing we did the first day was passing and catching. Here is going to be our press break. We're not installing offenses. We're not installing out of bounds plays until we get the ball across half court, fundamentally sound. We can't do anything else.
Yep.
We literally can't do anything else, you know? And I think one of the things I was thinking of, Derek, where you were saying that, it's not only catching it, but then catching and ripping it through and getting squared up.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as you catch that, rip it through, get squared up, and be able to make a basketball play after you catch it. Now, obviously, you got to start with the catch, but then that next step is ripping through, finding that. If my players had a nickel for every time they heard me say, find the rim in practice, they would all be able to retire right now. Because, it was just, I know I puked it out 50 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
Find the rim. But it's important.
Isn't that why teams press? I mean, you just press to get your bad fundamental teams out of the game right away.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Against bad teams, you're looking for the knockout blow. Against good teams, and we're seeing this kind of play out in the NBA Finals. We saw it last night in Game 3. Oklahoma City was gassed.
Yep.
With 5 minutes left to go, because they just got up and underneath them for the first 43 minutes of the game. And that's one of the reasons why they won the last 5 minutes. Now, there's other reasons, but that's one of the big reasons. So, Kylie, what are you working on this summer?
Well, summer for us is three different things. Trying to improve our kids' bodies in the weight room and then at speed camp. Secondly, improving our basketball skill. We've shot and dribbled a lot. And our passing has caught up to us. And I think looking back at our skill development through time, we have 45 minutes or an hour. We've always liked this idea of having a ball in every kid's hand the entire time. Nobody came there to be the dummy defense on a 3-on-1 drill, right? You didn't wake up in the morning to do that. If we had, so we spin catch to shoot.
Self-pass.
Yeah, self-pass all the time. As opposed to passing the ball into the shooting bucket. And our shooting percentage has been hurt in part because of our poor passing. So then we've had to kind of back up and take a look at that. So that would be the second thing. And the third thing in the summer for us is just beginning to put our team together. We're going to play in some shootouts. We're going to play in some scrimmages. We always take too many kids to figure out who can play.
Yep.
Try to have a decent idea by the end of the summer. I think the play's maybe okay at times. Probably just as important as the hour break between games and sitting in the rec center at Dort, hanging out with your buddies. We go to Pizza Ranch and have a meal and ride in the van.
What's Pizza Ranch? I'm just joking. I'm just joking.
And
I worked at a pizza ranch for 6 years, so I can make that joke. So
get to for the kids to spend time with each other, for them to spend time with me. I get to know them in a different way.
Yep.
And again, try to finish summer basketball with that same thought. Gosh, I wish we had one more tournament to go to, but we don't. And let's go to Dead Week. Good luck with fall sports. And then, you know, we pick up some open gyms in September, sometime after Labor Day, give them some time away. And we always feel like we have a really good idea of who we are. We're always making that evaluation. Postseason, who do we think we could be next year? Then we play a 20-game summer season. Some of that's still true, and some of that's not. And then the fall then is the time for me to reevaluate, reorganize of what we're going to look like team-wise. And then we feel like, you know, third Monday in November, we're ready to hit the ground running. You know, all but the COVID summer, when we didn't get to go in June. Mm-hmm. For us being a developmental program, we need that time. And that was one of those, like, we end up spending all of our time in December doing what we normally had done in June. Mm-hmm. And that was a awkward season from that point of view.
Yeah, no. All three of you guys had really, really nice seasons last year. You know, I said, Derek, Lauren, you got to hoist the trophy at the end. And that's just a byproduct of everything that we have been talking about for the last 42 minutes and change here. You know, like, you, as I was at the Creighton camp and I had my little team and I just said, hey, fellas, we're just worried about getting better when we start playing our games. Mm-hmm. If we happen to win, great, but let's just get better from one game to the next, you know, that type of thing. And I know that's the way you guys think of the process as well, but looking back, and you've had some time to reflect on all three of your seasons, what are some things that you learned from this past season that you hadn't learned or experienced maybe before in your careers? Derek, we'll give you a chance to lead this one off here.
I think keeping it simple was very important for us this year to not, we added some things obviously, but we really thrived on keeping things very basic, but doing them exceptionally well. Uh-huh. And our practices aren't flashy, that sort of stuff. So I think as we transition to a whole new group this upcoming season, it's a good reminder for me to, like, we don't have to add extra plays. We do have to be very good at a lot of simple things. And by simple, that's the passing, that's that sort of stuff. But then it goes back to what I said a while back ago, is the belief, right? We got to have new guys step up. We got to have a belief in our system, a belief in our teammates. You got to believe in yourself. We talk about that a lot. And I think that came true because there were times throughout the year that we were down. We had a really tough schedule this year. But there was never, Yates is just laughing at it. Our schedule was brutal. But our belief never faltered. Mm-hmm. The guys really trusted each other because we put them in situations in the summer and throughout our season where it allowed them to just actually excel instead of crumble in the big time moments. So I think the belief is a big, big deal for our program.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Kylie?
Well, I always feel like we're trying to do maybe some different things at different times. X and O wise this year, we played some more 1-3-1 zone than we have.
How did Coach Boeheim call you and say, what are you doing?
Are you okay?
Well, yeah. Are you feeling all right? You got a fever?
We were working on. We wanted to change up. We feel like some good teams getting a rhythm against our 2-3.
Yep.
And I don't know that what I learned that I don't teach that near as well. We didn't play it near as well. We weren't very good at it. I know our kids didn't believe in it. And so then we're going to play 2-3 zone. And when somebody attacks that pretty well, we're going to have to play it better or we're going to get our butt beat. So, maybe we learned that. We had a tragic situation. We had a student, pass away, right before Christmas. Was a best friend to our best player and point guard, very popular kid, great kid. I had him in government class. We unfortunately then were away for 9 days before we got to get back together. We didn't learn this, but we were reinforced by the power of positive leadership that came from our kids and their ability to overcome a horrific event and to help each other, to lead each other, to care about each other. And we had some rough days and we had some rough practices and we had some days that, you know, grief hits different people at different times. And we had some injuries and, I was really glad that, I'm on the back nine of my coaching career as I was able to try to help navigate the kids go through that challenging situation. I can't imagine being a 26-year-old head coach and having all of that trauma for those kids.
Yeah.
Being a dad myself, being a veteran coach. And I was just so happy with how our kids treated each other, how they supported each other. And we're able to find a way to help that situation, help motivate our kids. And we're able to, you know, navigate it in a positive way. And that was because of the positive leadership of the kids on the team.
Yeah. We went through that in our school. I think this was my 27th year of teaching. And we had a student pass away. He's my American history, junior history class. I started thinking about it after. That's the first student I had ever lost. An active student, you know, students had passed away after they graduated, but that was the first time I'd ever had it happen. That was hard. And I'm just, you know, I mean, I'm teaching kids in the classroom, but then you're doing it on, you know, two levels, not just one, not just in the classroom, but in the gym. That had to be very difficult. So, Lauren, how about you?
I learned that athletes matter. And I know one of the questions maybe you were thinking about asking is like, okay, skill or athleticism? And I know you need both, but I have learned very much when you have good athletes, it makes everything better. And you don't need to have a lot of them, but if you can have a couple of really good athletes on the floor, it makes an incredible difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And, That was probably the biggest thing I learned. And Derek said it, but you would probably laugh about our locker room before the game because I couldn't even tell you how simple it is, our scouting report. Like, we don't have one. We just don't. We just try to do the things we do really, really well. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at a team's 3-point shooter and go, hey, gotta look out for this guy.
Yeah.
That's it. So we want our guys play really hard and play without having to think and just play the game.
Uh-huh.
And that was reinforced this year, most definitely.
Yeah. You bring up a interesting point because it's something I battled as a head coach. I got better at it as I went on, but I was such a film junkie and I watch it and then you come in with this scouting report, you know, and number 13, when they go to the bathroom, they prefer the third stall instead of the second, you know, and that type of thing. You know, how do you, you know, I know this wasn't on our list, but, you know, how do you keep that balance with, here's what we need to know, but doggone, just go out and play. You know, I mean, how did you arrive at that balance, Coach?
Well, first of all, I get confused really quickly. So the more information I have on the other team, the worse. I don't really want to know that much. And I'm convinced of this. Our guys half the time are trying to figure out what they're doing. I don't want to be worried about what the other team is doing. That sounds kind of dumb, but it's true. I think if you'd watch us play, you'd go, well, those guys bend their ears back and go. Uh-huh. And they're not really too concerned. So we have a system that we're going to do defensively, and doesn't really matter what the other team is doing. And yeah, like I said, you can look at who their 3-point shooter is, or if somebody's made their living at the foul line, you're probably going to take away their drive first. But there isn't much of a balance for us, because we really don't have a scouting report.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Well, how about you, Derek?
Yeah, I probably learned the hard way. You know, I came from Dort as an assistant coach, and as assistant coach at the time, my job was to know the opponents better than, you know, they knew themselves. So I would spend 5 to 10 hours a day watching film. And then I remember this really clear. When I got to Western, I would watch a lot of film at night, and our first game, I printed out a 3 front and back page scouting report, and my assistant, who has been there longer than I am and way smarter than I am, and he looked at me, he's like, what are you doing? I said, well, we're getting ready for this game, and we're going to win. And he said, okay. And he took a step back, and he just kind of let it fail, and it failed miserably. But like Coach said, we had kids thinking about what they're trying to do instead of just playing. And I think Northwest Iowa teams play incredibly hard. And we have a lot of kids that overthink a lot already.
Yeah.
And if we have them overthinking about the opponent, well, then we can't focus on us. So in the COVID year in 2021, I stopped watching film on the opponent, and I told, we made a shift in our system, and went to an offensive coordinator, defense coordinator type deal. And my assistant coach, Sean DeSichter, who is one of the smartest guys out there and most prepared guys out there, he does all our defense. So I said, you worry about the opponents, and I am not going to watch film. Now, I have recently started watching film on our opponents again. And, but I did not watch film an entire year until the state championship game the night before, just because I was like, oh, okay. And then I had to shut it down saying, okay,
let's don't mess with what's working.
Because I as a coach came guilty of worrying too much about them and not enough about us. So we're kind of, you know, we don't do scouting reports in the regular season at Western. We do it in the postseason, and we do it like this year we played in the Classic, and we use that as a preparation for a scouting report,
a dry run.
Yep. And so we just do scouting reports, a very, very basic one line. Yep, like Coach said, this guy is going to go to his left every time, and it's very basic. And that's all we do. Yep. We keep pretty simple on our opponents.
Well, Kylie?
Well, I think the scouting report has become more for me in recent years. We give them a front and a back. We give them a page of diagrams of what they're going to do against 2-3 zone, what they're going to do baseline out of bounds. And our scouting is a preparation from a, what are they going to do defensively? So now we're going to practice in the 2-day lead up to that with, that's going to be our offensive actions that we practice, knowing that's going to go on. Also, I think the scout for us is, if you got a team that plays multiple defenses, if you've scouted all of that and they switch defenses, and this is also assuming that the other team, all 5 guys get in the right spot. But sometimes you'll have 4 in the right spot and the 5th guy isn't. You're like, I'm not sure what in the world they're running. But if you'll have if you've got a template of, well, they play these 5 defenses and it has to be this or this, then I think that helps us recognize it quicker in the game, get our kids in the right spot quicker and go. So I don't know that it's for the player. For the players, we want to know how to close out to certain guys.
Yeah.
At the 1A level, we have vast differences between skill level of players on the floor, whether they're drivers, shooters, or could do both. And so we have a statistician manager, and he yells closeout calls the entire game. He must not have a voice left at the end of the game. He asked for a scouting report, asked if he could do it. I was like, sure, man. And our bench echo yells those. But the scouting report for me has been more about us and getting prepared. Then on the other side of it has been, you know, watching our game film after the afterwards.
The self-scout.
The self-scout, making some reflections. What do we got to work on in practice? Yep. And then the game I would want to watch when we go to get ready to play is the last time we played them. And basically, maybe it's different for us because they're not facing a lot of 2-3 zone. And so we have to find some film. Let's see how they're going to attack that. And if there's, you know, a few quirky things that they're going to do, we're not going to let them surprise us and get a cheap basket on it. So we'll be able to talk and walk through some of those sorts of things. But, yeah, we're not quite as far down the road as you guys, but I don't think we asked the kids to maybe know as much as I did 20 years ago, probably.
Yeah. You guys, bring it home on this here. You're improving your teams, but you know, you're driven and you want to make yourself as good as you can be. I mean, Coach DeYoung's been typing notes in, the whole time we've been going here today. And, so what are you doing or what have you been doing or what do you plan on doing, for yourself, so that by the time November 15th rolls around, you know, I'm going to be to be better as a head coach than I was last year for my kids here. So, Kylie, what have you been working on, my man?
Well, there's not very many days that I don't do something with basketball. I mean, unless we're in Hawaii and we got into the gym where they play the Maui Classic and we're able to play a little noon ball with my son. Not a lot of people probably go to the gym when they're in. Yeah, on vacation, but I'm going to read. We watch some instructional videos, but I think the best education that I get is I have a network of hundreds of coaches and I have conversations with people. And you want to know something about this game, there's a lot of great people out there. So the last couple of years, we've been spending some more time studying that 1-3-1. I think it's really sound. I think we could teach it after I've learned some more. So I've had conversations with 25 people about that either run it or have a really good plan to attack it because somebody in their league runs it. And so just always constantly doing that. And then, running into coaches at team camps and how's your team looking and what's working for you, and then watching the NBA playoffs. And now we'll have a little basketball dead period here till September.
Well, you still have WNBA going on.
Got the WNBA, and I love the years that we have the national team play. That's honestly my favorite level of basketball to watch, watching the Olympics and watch the national team. Once we decided that we were going to play together and get all the good guys there. So, yeah, we're doing something with basketball all the time.
I went out to Colorado Springs about 3 weeks ago to watch the U16 tryouts and everything, and it was a fascinating process to check out and what they're. And I got there the first workout I saw. They were at 36, and they were going to cut down to 18. So I got to see one workout with all 36 kids that had been invited to this camp. And then, and I knew a couple of guys on staff. So I was, when you went from 36 to 18, why did you leave this kid? Cause I thought this kid looked pretty good, but you brought this kid along. And then for the next day and a half, I watched their 18 and eventually they went from 18 to 12 and and they went and won the gold medal. But I'm anxious to talk to, you know, one or two of those guys and say, you know, what was your one of the things I want to ask? What was your what made the difference between those six kids that you decided not to bring and the 12 that you kept there? You know, and so like just in that international flavor, I'm kind of interested to hear their thought process as they went through that. So,
yeah.
Coach DeYoung, what are you doing this off season to get better?
Well, I do try to keep it pretty simple, and I got to be careful because I'm kind of a hungry guy, and I know there's a lot of great ideas out there, and if I'm not careful, I'd start chasing those. So I try to keep my network much smaller, and mainly Kylie.
You filter it through Kylie.
He's
Kylie
thinks
the other
guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're friends too.
That's so. Working efficiently, Coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really do. I will watch videotape, like if there's a good coach out there like Gino or something like that, I'll watch and try to pick some things up to maybe refine what we do or explore maybe the 1-3-1 zone like Kylie's talked about. And probably the biggest thing I do is I try to get away and get refreshed.
Yeah.
I am a man of faith, and I've learned that my time going to the Word has been really important for me. It just has, and it kind of gets me refocused and puts me in a much better frame of mind. And to me, it's be the best book to go to. It's the best coaching book there is. And then when I do talk hoops, like I said, I really try to pick who it is that I'm talking to, the guys that I really respect. And, you know, Kylie's one and Coach Eakoff, and, you know, I'm taking good notes from Derek today. So,
yeah. Derek, how about you?
Yeah. I love to read. I love to read military books because I love how the military operates as far as the team aspect of it. You have your leader, but the leader is all about the team.
Uh-huh.
So I try to do one or two military books a summer. I try to read about 8 books in the summer.
Uh-huh.
And that's just, I love to do that. I picked up walking. So I try to walk 2-3 miles each morning.
Meet me tomorrow morning. We'll,
yeah.
Meet me at my dad's house.
I'm the funny one. I sort of, yeah. You know, this new trend is walking with a weighted vest. So I meet people on the road, and they give me funny looks. But it's healthy. It's a refresh.
Yeah.
And I'm challenging myself to go through the Bible this summer. The entire Bible just this summer. I've never done it front to back in one time. So that's one of my books. Then I also started a basketball academy this summer. And I did that to learn new ways to teach kids. I think I've been pretty good at helping train your best players. You know, that they're obviously really good and giving them tidbits. But what I want to challenge myself to do is how can I get the message across to the kids that don't really understand basketball?
Yeah.
The kids that want to be a part of it, but it's too fast for them. Or, so that's working with boys and girls. And, it's honestly been a pretty refreshing, teaching 5th grade girls, or I got to work out after this tonight with 4 7th grade girls. So it just allows me to find new ways to teach and motivate, and it's been busy, but it's been, in a sense, refreshing and motivating just to find new niches in individuals so I can hopefully better teach my team next year so we can be better.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Great stuff, fellas. Great stuff. Anything you guys want to talk about? All good?
Good.
Yeah. All right.
I would just say maybe to close, surround yourself with really good people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Derek kind of was alluding to that a little bit earlier, but really good people is a big deal, and that'll go a long ways.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great point. That's a great point. You are who you surround yourself
for
with,
sure.
Yeah. you know, yeah. And that says, you know, I always would tell my players, if I could do two things, and I'm far from a perfect human being, as are all of us at the table, but if I could do two things for you, I wish I could pick your friends and I wish I could pick your spouse.
Yeah.
You know, and again, not to say I'm perfect, but yeah. You know, that's, you know, when you start seeing that kid kind of drifting off into the wrong crowd of kids and things start going in a negative direction, you know, that gets tough, you know? So, gentlemen, I want to thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. I hope Derek, your first experience on a pen and a napkin.
Yes,
how was it?
This is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Lauren, our first face-to-face meet and greet here is all right.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah. 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 Kylie, you know, thanks for being my street agent, hustling these two guys in here today. So
my pleasure. Appreciate you having us on talking hoops. It's a good night.
Want to thank, of course, Chad Lang here at Langer's, at Cook's Grill, and everything here in downtown. Again, if you're in the Northwest Iowa area, come check out Chad's place. He does a great job. You know, kind of become a staple of the community in town here, you know. So want to thank him for that. And again, want to thank you guys for your time. We got a lot of good stuff coming out from A Pen and a Napkin here. We got Snow Valley book coming out on July 1st. We got the Hoops 365 coming out here sometime, hopefully in September. That's kind of the target time. So coaches will have a chance to use it before the season gets going. We just got a lot of good things. So again, guys, thank you for your time today. Really appreciate it. Want to thank Chad for his time. Want to thank you, coaches, for listening. Coaches, as always, let's be sure to hone our craft one day at a time.